It's a real pleasure to be here. This is about the evolution of a state health department that has enabled us to move very seriously from what I call traditional public health programs, STDs, family planning, hepatitis, TB, HIV, into harm reduction and treatment of addiction. I'm actually a pediatrician. 21 years ago, I was doing baby clinics, and now I'm treating heroin addicts in Albuquerque. It's the most incredible thing I've done in my career, and everyone who does this, the clinic, the providers are very passionate about it because of our patients. So this is a typical patient, a 25-year-old Hispanic female. She's been injecting heroin for 10 years. I met her in the jail in Bernalillo County, where we have a public health program. We showed a video about addiction, relapse, and treatment. We met with her briefly with some of the other women inmates. I took a short history, established that she was indeed a heroin addict before she came into the jail. She hadn't been using, and I prescribed 4 tablets of Suboxone, which I'll talk about, for her to pick up in a neighborhood pharmacy, because they're open 6 days a week and we're only open 5 days a week. And she picked up these pills a couple of days after release from the jail. Before she relapsed, she got to the health department. She met with one of our providers and was given a week prescription. In the meantime, we did all the public health interventions that we all know and love. You know, we gave her immunizations, we tested her for hepatitis C and HIV, we did a pregnancy test, we gave her follow-up appointments, but we also gave her syringes and a Narcan. She was reluctant, but we said, you know, people do relapse, we want you to be safe. And over the next few weeks, we saw her several times on a weekly basis, made sure she was able to sign up with some public health insurance in Albuquerque, and we referred her to a primary care doctor who could prescribe her medication. We checked up on her a few months later. She was still in treatment. She was trying to get her kids back. She was actually going to community college. This is the kind of transformation that is very powerful and that makes us very proud of what we're doing. We have the tools right now in our hands that make it possible for us to treat people and, like I said, transform lives of people who are addicted to opiates. And health departments can take a role either in doing like we do, all of it, soup to nuts, or at least assuring, right, our assurance role that this is available to people in the community. So this is the map of New Mexico. We are a poor state, a largely rural state. This is Albuquerque. This is Las Cruces, close to the Mexican border. And this is Santa Fe. We say, poor New Mexico, so far from God, so close to Texas. This is the Texas. That's the Texas border. So New Mexicans have had a long, very sad history of a connection with the opium poppy and its byproducts. Heroin addiction is a long history of its being involved. Some communities, urban, rural communities, where there's a familial addiction history and huge problems. And more recently, we have the problem that everyone else does in the country of synthetic opiate narcotic pills that are used and abused. We estimate 23,000 IV drug users, mostly heroin. This is in a state of 2 million. High overdose deaths. We have 32,000 people listed on our hepatitis C registry, unduplicated names. This is the overdose data showing the New Mexico drug-induced deaths by year, and this is a rate per 100,000, and the U.S. So it's an epidemic proportion. In the mid-90s, we tested about 1,000 people. This is Michael Samuel, who's at the conference, did this paper. We tested 1,000 IV drug users, and this was the conclusion that over 80% had hepatitis C, 60% had markers for hepatitis B, and half of 1% had HIV. This was the data that finally convinced the state legislature, after 7 years of annually going back and asking for a syringe exchange program. I, I love how biblical it is. 7 years we went back, and finally, on the seventh year, they saw the light, and we established the New Mexico Harm Reduction Act, which mandated that the Department of Health run a syringe exchange and harm reduction program. So this is why we are in very closely connected to this community, because we've been giving them syringes for 11 years, essentially. And the exciting thing now is now we can actually offer treatment. And I say to my colleagues, you know, it's unethical to just give needles when you can also offer people a treatment for their addiction. And that's why we're so committed to it. So this is what? This is Narcan. This is saves lives. You put this in someone's nostril who has an opiate overdose, and you spray it like that, and they wake up. They're not happy. They're pretty unhappy, but they do wake up. And this is a big part of our program. Since 1998, over 12 million syringes exchanged, 12,000 individuals, and we've trained over 5,000 people in the use of Narcan for overdose reversal, and we've documented over 1,500 saves. Pretty incredible stuff. Our HIV rate, we're a low HIV prevalence state. About 10% of our infections are attributable to IV drug use, and 10% of men who have sex with men who also are IV drug users. If you're going to address addiction in your communities and states, you must deal with the correctional system, because that's where the people are. We have the highest incarceration rate in the entire world, because starting around 1980, when the war of drugs took off, you see, we dramatically went from a rate similar to other Western countries to now the highest in the world. This is 2 million people a day in the United States are behind bars. At least 50% of them meet the criteria for serious addiction and substance abuse problems, and it's probably much higher in many places. So this is the Bernalillo County Detention Center, $100 million jail that opened up outside of Albuquerque in 2003. They get 40,000 bookings a year. 6 months later, we opened a public health office in that jail, because we felt that public health needs to be in correctional settings. And I don't have time to go into the details of our program, but we were interested back then in offering methadone maintenance, which was at that time the only proven treatment for addiction for people who were already on methadone at the time of their arrest. So that program is 4 years old now. And, you know, all the national bodies have strongly recommended that treatment with methadone or Suboxone be available for drug-addicted people, and very few correctional settings are making this available. So along comes this new medication called buprenorphine that largely developed with federal money, and it is meant for primary care physicians to prescribe for treatment of addiction. And it's safer than methadone. It's been shown to be very effective. And I want to show you. This is in 1995 in France. They started offering methadone, and they started offering buprenorphine. And this is the death rate from overdoses. It dropped like that. This is what we want to do in New Mexico. This is what we have to do in the United States, and it can be done. The French did it, we can do it. So in 2007, in southern New Mexico, the health department started a Suboxone program, and I started one in Albuquerque in 2008. There are three physicians, two nurse practitioners. We work in an overcrowded, cramped STD clinic, and we've treated over 200 people with this Suboxone. And let me just show you that the average weekly injections before treatment was 25, and the average injections after treatment is 0.6. So this is big, big change. We have other programs that we work with, Albuquerque Healthcare for the Homeless. So let me just finish by saying that there are going to be at least 25 million uninsured, even if the health insurance bill passes. And I have a bad feeling that's my patients. In fact, I know for a fact it's going to be my patients. It's going to be young people, it's going to be poor people, it's going to be addicted people. So the health department, we can address this very complex and difficult issue of addiction, closely linked to hepatitis and HIV transmission, overdose deaths. The federal government has ended the ban on funding of syringe exchange programs. So we are going to be working, all of us, I think, increasingly with these populations. We are the safety net provider. We have a commitment to addressing inequities and disparities, and this is ground zero for disparities. If you go into jails and prisons, it's people of color overwhelmingly. We have the skills and we have the policy experience to talk to legislators, and ultimately we have to do it because no one else is going to fill this void in our communities. Thank you.
Thank you. We have about 4 minutes for questions.